One of the most distinctive artists of his generation, Stephen Huff combines a distinguished career as a pianist with those of composer and author. He released a new album of Johannes Brahms' last compositions in January and a wonderful book called Rough Ideas in February. Stephen Huff was scheduled to perform at Xavier University as the final artist in this year's piano series. The April 23rd concert was canceled due to the current pandemic and social distancing requirements. It will be rescheduled in 2021. He's a wildly talented, wickedly funny, astoundingly brilliant, and thoroughly British gentleman. And Stephen Huff joins me on the phone from his home in London. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal.
What a pity we couldn't actually be seeing each other and being in the same room. But anyway, I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you? Is everything okay there?
We're good here. We're on reduced staff, so my wonderful engineer, Bill, is doing a job that's not normally his, so we thank him for that. And thank you for keeping the interview.
We've got to keep everything going that we possibly can, I think, don't we?
I love your attitude, sir. Now, obviously, you were scheduled to play here in Cincinnati in April, and that's not happening. Is anybody talking rescheduling yet, or is it too soon?
Yes, we've been speaking about possible dates next season, so I dearly hope that will happen, because I have so many memories of course, Father Jack Heim, Xavier series there. I was many, many years, I think since the 1980s that I've actually been coming. No, I think we are rescheduling. And of course, it's happening like every other musician, really. Our diaries simply were wiped clean, a bit like there was a computer glitch and you look at the diary and there's nothing in it.
I will look forward to meeting you in person at that rescheduled time.
Indeed, yes, thank you.
I have been totally enjoying your book, Rough Ideas. The new book deals a lot with downtime, actually. So you're rather well equipped to handle this?
Well, it's interesting. I'm actually writing a little article at the moment about, you know, the impact on life. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to a number of friends and musicians. You know, our daily lives when we're home and working are very little different now than they were before this terrible crisis, because I spend most of my days alone. I go to the piano and I sit down and I practice, and apart from phone calls and emails, that's my day, you know, from morning till the evening. Of course, what is different is the evening, because then I would get together with friends and with my partner and we'd go and have dinner, we'd go to the theater and see friends, and all of that has, of course, stopped. So that's the difference. But it did strike me that, and this is something else actually that I talked about in the book, about living in the present moment. I mean, it's something that every tradition, and religious and not, has as part of their way of living. And I think it's certainly become even more important for me now, because, you know, as I'm standing here at home, I've just had some lunch. I'm healthy. I'm doing what I love to do. And I think for all of us, we have to grasp that present moment with all the worries that the future might bring. The fact is that, you know, for most of us right now as we stand, we still have our lives. And so I think these are precious blessings to hold on to, actually.
I absolutely agree and hope that that's one of the good things that comes out of all of this. I loved in your book when you quoted Hans von Bülow saying, "Don't despise those 15 minutes that you spend waiting for the carriage."
Right. Well, there are lots of those 15-minute slots in our lives now. And, you know, and obviously, I'm an only child. I grew up spending a lot of time alone. And as a concert pianist for the last 30-odd years, I've spent a lot of time alone. So I've kind of been preparing for this my whole life. But I feel tremendous empathy and sympathy for those who, you know, who come from large families, who work in big office situations, and their whole lives have been full of interacting with other people. And suddenly, you know, in some places more strictly than others, but they're shut up at home. Of course, nobody's really sure about the length of this. So, you know, we're all hanging in there and trying to support each other as best we can.
I loved reading in your book how your whole philosophy and your approach to practicing, and it seems to me that it requires a tremendous amount of self-discipline. How did you develop, and would you talk a little bit about the way you practice and prepare a piece?
Yeah, I think it's just something that you learn on the job. And I think everyone actually uses their time in different ways. I think all of us, when we're working, can probably use our time better. And I don't mean use more of it, but use more concentrated the time that we have. I'm certainly guilty of this. You know, I know that after an hour of practicing sometimes, I think, well, what have I really achieved? And if I'd really concentrated, maybe I could have done all of that in 15 minutes. So I think that it's a constant, you know, ongoing challenge. But I think It is the business of sort of snapping into focus, you know, that when we have to do something, and I think of the analogy maybe of someone in the cockpit of a plane, you know, and they're going through a storm or something, you know, you have to concentrate, you have to focus everything, all the energy in on that one task that you have to do for the next whatever number of minutes. And I think it's the same, we should try and do that when we're practicing, you know, so we really listen. This is something when I'm working with students that, you know, it's really one of the main things to get across is actually listen not to what you hope you're doing, but to what really is coming out of that piano. And of course, they're not always the same thing.
Yes, I like when you said to rehearse the simple parts.
You know, when we look in the mirror, unless we're absolutely flawless, you know, we see a little bit what we want to see. And that's being kind to ourselves, and that's fine. But it's, as a pianist, we need to listen to what's really there. And it may not always be very nice, but work with what's there. And that's the way we're going to improve, is by that focusing.
Two things that I learned reading your book. One is the difference between every different piano in the world, and the other about how it involves your whole body to play the piano. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, the glory of the piano, of our, most of our classical musical instruments, is that they are 100% natural. You know, they don't require electricity in any way or any powering. They just are there. They need tuning and looking after. And that means that every single one of them, as every single human being, is completely unique. The wood is different, of course. Every piece of wood in the world is slightly different, and the felts and the leather and everything to do with the action. And I find that a very wonderful thing, because it connects the different eras of our human life. You know, often we feel that things get out of date so quickly. You know, my iPhone is already, I need to get the next one on. But the piano is there, and our music is there, and I'm practicing Beethoven. You know, 200 years is separating me from when these pieces were written. And yet somehow, when we're playing them, we're connected across the centuries. And I think that's a very important thing, because people often feel isolated, I think, in the modern world. And especially right now, they're literally isolated. But music and the dead composers, as well as the living ones, of course, but somehow we're part of a community responding to this music. It speaks to our hearts like it spoke to the hearts of the people 200 years ago. And that's something very precious, I think, to hold on to. The other point you made about playing the piano with our bodies. Yeah, of course, the tips of our fingers is what connects with the keys. But like the osteopath will tell you, every part of the body is connected. So if you have a stiff neck, it could be something in your knee that's wrong. The same when we're playing an instrument, those connections, you know, the weight of the body, the way the arms are free, the way the elbow is balanced, how the wrist works, all of that plays into how we draw the sound out of our instrument. And again, that's something fascinating, because, you know, with computerized instruments, you just press a button and it happens, and there's not much you can do. But with acoustic instruments, it's an extension of our breathing almost. It's such a human thing to be involved with.
I have a daughter who plays the harp, and I didn't know until she began that there were even feet involved in it.
That's right, yeah. Of course, also, it's not just the fingertips, it's the use of the whole arm as you pluck those strings.
My guest is pianist and author Stephen Huff. The new book is Rough Ideas, out now on Farrar, Straus & Giroux Books. You also have a new CD, Brahms, The Final Piano Pieces. Can you describe the pieces and how you chose to record them?
Yeah, well, these are all the last pieces. I've collected them all together on one CD, The Final Piano Pieces of Brahms. They were written at the end of his life, and there are 20 of them. And they are absolutely extraordinary miniatures. It's like each one is like a symphony condensed into two, 3-4 minutes. Brahms was a pianist. He started his life, actually, we're told, playing in brothels, but that's something else. He wasn't doing that at the end of his life. He'd had a long career as a great composer, mainly of non-piano music after those early years. But then he comes back to the piano, and he'd said, I'm not going to compose anymore. He wrote the string quintet. That's it. I've written everything I want to. And he came back partly because of this, the clarinetist who asked him to write some music for him. And also he obviously was at the keyboard improvising. He was also living alone at this time in Vienna. There's a loneliness to a lot of these pieces. And they're sort of explorations of these last years. And you sense him looking back over an incredibly rich life and feeling melancholy and sad, but also, you know, pleased that he'd done what he had. And so they're wonderful final fruits, really. When you think you've gathered every grape off the vine, you know, know, you go out and, oh my goodness, there's a bush I've not actually been to yet. And it's like that with these pieces for me with Brahms. They're exquisite. They're written, you know, he was such a great composer, and his craftsmanship is absolutely without parallel. Every line is beautifully shaped and all the inner voices work, and the intellectual power behind it is incredible. But beyond that, the pieces speak to our hearts in a most affecting way.
What do you work on in your spare time? Maybe I should say, what do you not work on? How do you relax a little bit?
How do I relax? At the moment, I'm working hard during the day, but then at the end of the day, you know, I am closing the door on the studio and catching up with a little bit of television. You know, I never watch television in my life. Well, when I was a teenager, I used to watch 6 hours a day of rubbish TV. I used to skip school, and I was a very bad student. And things changed in my late teens. And since then, really, I've watched very little. But now we're catching up on series. We just finished the Trial of Christine Keeler, very, very good BBC series about Christine Keeler, who was the young woman who brought down the government through having an affair with the Conservative Minister for War. This was in 1963. And it's a wonderful series, and you get a real sense of the 1960s, of the fashion of the cars, and of the extraordinary hypocrisy that was going on in society at the time, and particularly also the fact that it was a man's world. If a woman misbehaved, you know, she was ostracized by everyone. If a man misbehaved, oh, well, that's, he's just one of the boys. And so it's a very interesting window on a different time in life. So that's finished. And I think now we're starting a series called Spooks, which is many seasons. And so, I don't know, we're all going to get very used to this downtime, I think. That's the danger. Will we ever be able to get back to work again?
The book is Rough Ideas. The album is Brahms, the final piano pieces. My guest has been Stephen Huff, and we look very much forward to you rescheduling your concert in Cincinnati.
Thank you. Me too. And stay well and calm, everyone. We'll be through this soon, I hope, anyway, and hope to look forward to seeing you all again very soon.
Stephen Huff's new book is entitled Rough Ideas. It's available now on Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. The CD is Brahms, the Final Piano Pieces, available now on Hyperion Records. Stephen Huff has been my guest. We'll keep you posted as to the new date for his concert at Xavier's Gallagher Theater. For 91.7 WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.